Our scripture meditation this morning from the psalm that we have just sung together, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let us hear God's holy word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, "This is my psalm." His battle hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," takes its opening line from this psalm. The robust and defiant tone of the psalm suggests that it was written in a time of crisis. What the particular crisis is, we do not know, and that's okay because crisis is a constant component in life. And we need help. We need help in our crisis hours. And even for those of you who may suffer from optimism, we have to admit reality that we live in critical times. World crisis, national crisis, religious crisis, economic crisis, health crisis, and those multiple personal crises that seem to trump everything else around us. In so many ways, this world is on a razor's edge. And these are critical days. And this psalm directs us to face whatever unafraid, because of the security that we have in God and nothing else. It may be that everything around us is falling apart. And I don't want to alarm you, but everything around us is eternally determined to fall apart. So in these crisis times, I want us to see evidence of God's providence, accomplishing his purpose, and learn to rest in him. Everything is going to be okay. And I say that as a pessimist. But this is the fact of reality. So today, in the time that we have together around God's Word, I want us to think about the God of crisis and learn to live in the reality of God through all the stuff of life. My theme today is simply trusting in God and therefore just to calm down. To calm down. You'll notice as we read the psalm together that there are three occasions when the psalmist gives us instructions with the word Selah. Just a notation. The word Selah, when you find in the Psalms, is much like the instructions that you find in a musical score, be it allegro or staccato or whatever else, to give you instructions as to that particular musical score. And so Selah is giving us instructions as we come to this song together just to pause. It's a word of pause, a word that instructs us to think about what we have just sung, or in this instance, read together. And these three Selahs then give us three particular things that God would have us to think about as we have our Bibles open together to this wonderful psalm that instructs us in the time of crisis to calm down. The first thing to think about is this, and I'll make three propositions as we make our way through these three sections. The first proposition is this, that God is our stability in crisis. That God is our stability in crisis. We are secure under His protection, and we have nothing, therefore, ultimately to fear. But the psalmist draws our attention to the crisis, first of all, of this instability in verses 2 and 3. You have these images of a world that is falling apart. The earth and the mountains. Here are the two most immutable things and the most stable things that we can think of. But yet they're set against what, in so many ways, is the most unstable and the unmoving. Mountains, the earth, carried to the midst of the sea. That which is so stable, that which appears to give such a foundation in this time of crisis, is thrown, as it were, shaking, as it were, put, as it were, into the very waters that are waves and billows and storms. I say it's a crisis of instability. And it speaks to us certainly of the instability of every earthly hiding place. Every natural fortress is ultimately going to fail. And there are going to be times. There are going to be times for certain when everything that we think we can count on is going to fail. And those things cannot be for us the ground for safety. They cannot be for us the ground for security. Oh, we plan for the future. We plan for the future and we do what we can to make sure that life goes on according to its norms. But there are things that are over and over going to be out of our control. Things that are going to disappoint us, whether it be banks or family or friends or whatever it is. So many things in life that often we depend upon, that we count on, are going to ultimately fail. We live in a world, I say, that is on a razor's edge, a world that is unstable. And it doesn't take much political acumen or spiritual acumen to see that instability in the days in which we live. We can't open up the paper, we can't listen to a news account without being bombarded again and again and again with all of the issues that are so potentially unsettling. We live in an unstable world. But in contrast to the instability of the mountains and the earth that will be cast into the troubled seas and the storms of life, we have the God of stability. And what a contrast. And this indeed is to be the focus of our faith. And now the psalmist gives us, particularly in verses 1 and the beginning of verse 2, a series of word pictures that underscore the reliability of God. Everything around us can be falling apart, Everything around us can be collapsing, but here are these unchangeable verities, these unchangeable foundational truths. God is for us. That's the literal translation. God is for us. He's for us as a refuge, as a strength, as a help, but the declaration there is simply that God is for us. The names of God, the titles of God in the Old Testament scriptures particularly, are never used haphazardly. They are part of the propositional revelation that God gives to us, so we always want to pay attention to the particular titles of God and names of God that are used. This is God. This is the Creator God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's this word. It's a word that describes the majesty of God. A word, a title that draws our attention to the power of God, to the might of God as the Creator. And as the Creator, there is nothing, therefore, that is outside of His ability to rule, outside of His ability to govern. He has made all things, that which man cannot duplicate, that which man cannot repeat. Only God is the Creator. And here is this God, His strength, His power, His majesty, and He is for us. He's for us. What a concept that is. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that if God be for us, then what? Who can be against us? It may appear to us, and particularly as we look at what we can see, and we are governed so much by sight, aren't we? We're governed so much by sight, and we see a world that seems to be hostile. We seem to be in the minority, an ever-shrinking minority with ever-losing power, but it seems that everything is against us. But God is for us. As His church, as His people, God is for us. And then can we rest upon what Paul concludes? If God is for us, then who? Who can be against us? Now we have these images. God is for us, first of all, as a refuge. This is our defense. The word refuge here speaks of a place of safety, a place of shelter, a place of security. I say it's a defensive term, and here is the unchanging God in whom we can find shelter in the time of storm. In the storms we're following there, but here's our refuge. Here's our solace, here's our safety. In the midst of that storm, a place where we can escape from the danger. A never-failing refuge. Here is God's faithfulness, here is God's power, here is God's wisdom, here are God's promises that are operating in behalf of us. All kind of stuff, I say, is happening around us, but on the outside. But here is the truth of reality. Here is the truth of reality, the reality of truth, that in God, His people, find a place of safety. A place of refuge. God is for us a refuge. But God is for us a strength. Here's the dynamic aspect of God. God within us now is that empowerment to sustain us. Here's the active force, the offensive. If the refuge speaks of God's defending us, offensive, defensive, well, here is the offense of God, His activity in behalf of His people. Not just a passive existence. God is never passive. We'll see that again later in the psalm. But God is active. And God, in His activity, is the strength, the enabling of His people. And God is for us as a help. As a help. And literally the line says, He is a help in trouble. He is found abundantly. In trouble, He is a help that is found abundantly. Not a helper. That's going to come later on in the text. But here He is, the help. He is the help. Implies the readiness of God to be found. His sufficiency for any situation. He's proven Himself to be reliable over and over again in the whole course of redemptive history. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so therefore, here is our hope. Here is our hope. For now, here is our hope for the future, that God is found of those who seek him. And he allows himself to be found of those who seek. Seek me with all of your heart. I will be found of you, the Lord promises. His help is available to those who want it, to those who seek it. We have a help. We have a help in the midst of all of our troubles, in the midst of all of our trials and uncertainties and anxieties of life. There is a help. There is a help that we have, and it is for us to look beyond the things of sight and circumstance to what we can know by faith. And that is where the resolution is. The resolution of this crisis, we're not to fear. Therefore, will we not fear? Though everything else is happening, though all of the stable things are becoming unstable things, throughout all of this crisis, here, therefore, is the conclusion, here is the application, the resolution of the fact that God is our refuge and our strength, therefore, we will not fear. You ever notice how many times the Bible instructs us not to fear? But every time the Bible instructs us not to be afraid, are in circumstances when common sense tells us to be afraid. Every time. Scary things, scary situations, scary circumstances. But in all of those scary times, God tells his people, now don't be afraid. Fear is the natural response. Fear is the natural response. Fear is that, in many ways, which dictates our behavior. What we fear will determine what we do and how we behave. There's a tendency that fear, therefore, has to paralyze us. To paralyze us. Scary stuff. What are you aware of? What we are aware of is what really we fear in that sense. And I say fear has a tendency to paralyze us. I like to hunt. Not so much a problem here, but when I lived in South Carolina, hunted down there for years, snakes were a problem. And I remember walking out of the woods one day and right crossing the path that I was walking on was a copperhead snake. As I recollect, it was probably 40 foot long, something like that, copperhead. And there it was, right in my path. Stopped me cold. It paralyzed me. I'm confident enough in my manhood to admit that I don't like snakes. And I don't like copperheads, poisonous. And there it was, just minding its own business, but I'm trying to walk out. I'm probably 10 feet away. What am I going to do? I pick up a rock and I throw the rock at it. I miss. I throw another rock at it. I miss again. I don't know how, but finally it just slithered off. But I'm saying fear has a tendency to paralyze. It paralyzes. And so often, even as we look at the stuff of life, we look at the day in which we live. Look at the day in which we live. Oh, we want to use common sense. Don't misunderstand me. We use common sense. We use common sense, but there are people today that are just scared and paralyzed. Use common sense in all, certainly. But in the uncertainties, in these uncertainties, here is the biblical instruction not to be afraid. This is not a natural response, not to fear in scary times. Not to be afraid in scary times is an unnatural response. But faith is an unnatural response. To be more aware of God that we cannot see than we are all the stuff of life that is so scary that we do see. God is the ultimate reality. God is the ultimate reality, and if we are to not fear the stuff of life, it is that we must fear Him, to be more aware, to be more conscious of Him than we are the stuff of life. But if we can rest assured here that God is the ultimate reality, more real than anything else, then our attention will be directed away from the instability crisis to God. Selah. Now just stop and think about that. God is our stability in the time of crisis. We come to the next stanza. Here's the next thing that we are to think about. That God is our comfort during crisis. God is our comfort during crisis. And the emphasis on this section is on God's presence with His people. A presence that makes glad, that brings contentment, that brings satisfaction. The only place where that kind of contentment and that satisfaction can be found in the certain knowledge of the presence of God. What greater comfort can we have? What greater confidence can we have than to know that God is with us? Remember even that Psalm 23 that becomes so familiar to us, that yea, though I walk in that valley of the shadow of death, that valley of deep darkness, I'll not fear evil. I'll not be afraid of the scary stuff. The psalmist there is saying, I'm not going to be afraid of the scary stuff in this darkness because you're with me. Because you're with me, and it is the knowledge and it is the confidence in the presence of God that brings this kind of contentment. God's presence is real. That's stated figuratively for us. First of all, in verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There's a river here. A river whose streams bring this contentment. Well, this is figurative. For there is no river like this that flows through Jerusalem. The Jerusalem, the city, Zion, that is before us here, is more than just that place on a map. It spiritually is the community of God's people. And there's something about this river here that figuratively is to be identified as the presence of God. Isaiah helps us interpret this. If you look at Isaiah 33 and verse 21, but there the majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams. So the prophet links God as a stream, as a river that is there present with His people. And that's the figurative idea that we want to see here, that this river that is causing prosperity, this river that is meeting the needs, this stream that is the provision of refreshment, of life itself, the topic referring to God. You see that in verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. God is in the midst of her. Who is that stream? That stream, that refreshing stream, that stream that brings is the presence of God. The irony of grace is here that God, who is so high, there's God, right? There's that term God again that speaks of the majesty of God, that speaks of the transcendence of God, that speaks of that infinite power of God that is so high, that God that is so infinitely high above us is right here with us. He takes us, His people, as His dwelling place, the dwelling place. He's so exalted, but yet He condescends to dwell with those that are so low. And what we see here stated figuratively with this river and God in the midst is stated explicitly for us in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Here's the Emmanuel concept. Here is God with his people. God with his people. In terms of both his power, in terms of his grace. Constant assuring confidence that we ought to have, therefore. And again, notice how the divine titles are used here. The Lord of hosts. There's the Lord. That's Jehovah. See all capitals. That's Jehovah. That's the covenant God. That's the saving God. That's the Savior God. It speaks of the grace of God to his people. But he is Jehovah of hosts, the army. He's the commander-in-chief. There's the power of God. There's grace and there's power that are here brought together. And he's with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. God, there's that word for power again. And Jacob, God of Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. And Jacob was an intriguer, and Jacob was a supplanter, and Jacob was a heel. But nonetheless, God, here's grace. God's grace, God's power, God's grace that are brought together, and that's the presence that is real for us as well. God's presence is real. But God's presence is active. I said earlier that God is never passive, and here's the evidence of his presence, that he is active, that he's working. In verse 1, we noted that God is a help. That's who he is. God is a help. That's who he is. But in verse 5, what is this help doing? He's helping. Here's what God does. Here's what God does. He helps. God shall help her. God shall help her. Certainty of that. Help. That flows out of the very nature of God himself. And this help comes literally at the break of day. At the break of day. He wastes no time. Daybreak is that which ends the time of darkness. At the break of day, God comes. And God helps his people. Not in the nick of time. Not in the nick of time, but at the very appropriate time, at the very best time, God comes and helps his people. This is no melodrama picture here of some damsel in distress that is tied to a railroad track and the hero comes at the very last minute to rescue. No. Not in the nick of time. For the break of day. The break of day that transitions from darkness to light. At the very moment when the help is most desperately needed. At the appropriate time. God helps. And the result is stability for us. We'll not be moved. We'll not be moved. Oh, verse 6, the nations and the kingdoms are moved. The earth melted. All that scary stuff is going to be moved. It's going to be brought to nothing. But not to worry, not to fret, because God is with us and will not be moved. Selah. Now just think about that. God is our comfort during the crisis. The last section that we're to think about, God is our deliverance from crisis. That's the third proposition, that God is our deliverance from crisis. In the midst of trouble, midst of our times of crisis, we recognize that all of this is part of the providence of God. But so is deliverance. So is deliverance a part of God's providence. The purpose of his glory, of his providence, is his glory and the good of his people. So on the basis of this deliverance, the psalmist recommends two things. First of all, we're to consider, verse 8, come, behold the works of God, who has made desolations in the earth. Come, see. Come and see. An invitation to look in faith to God. The word translated behold there has mostly in the context of prophetic visions. It's a prophetic word. With the eye of faith, as it were, we are to look to the Word of God, to the revelation that God is giving to us. Look to His revelation, look to His works. And faith gives us, as it were, an X-ray vision to look through what appears to be, to see what really is. God's hand, God's operation, God's movement, God's activity, even when it appears that things are so much out of control. God's operation, the evidences of His purpose. Look of faith. I say faith as an X-ray vision, but faith has the ability. Yeah. Faith has the ability to see the invisible. But faith does not see the non-existent. Here's the reality: that God is for us, that the works of God are being manifest. Now let's look away. Can we learn what it is? And oh, how difficult this is, isn't it? To walk by faith and not by sight. What we see before us with the physical eye is so vivid, so clear. Faith is not just crossing our fingers hoping that everything is going to be okay in the end. It's not wishful thinking. But faith enables us to look away from the things of sight to the things of eternity, the things of reality. To see, I say, not the non-existent, but to see that which is the ultimate reality of all things, and that is God. According to His Word, there's no trial, there's no trouble. There's no crisis beyond our ability to endure or beyond His ability to deliver. Verse 9 brings our attention again to God's ability to reverse the troubles when He sees fit. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in sunder. He burns a chariot. What God can do. And when it's the appropriate time, at the break of day, He will do. A future certainty that ought to be for us a constant, present comfort. So first of all, consider. But the second admonition is really the theme of our meditation today. Calm down. Just calm down. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. On the one hand, this is a rebuke to the restless world. It's a sense in which, and I don't mean to be crass, but there's a sense in which God is telling the world to shut up. Just shut up. And know that I am the one true and living God. Leave off your foolishness. Psalm 2. Psalmist admonishes the kings of the earth to be wise. To be wise. To kiss the Son. Lest He be angry and you perish from the way. What the Lord is saying to the world here, but on the other hand, to His people, it's an admonition to relax, to calm down. Everything is on course. I will be high. I will be exalted. Not just a simple future tense, but that which speaks of the resolution of God. the determination of God, the purpose of God to fulfill that declaration. The day will come. The day will come at the break of day at the very appropriate time when all will acknowledge and see what now we can acknowledge and know by faith. The day will come when all the hostility and all the wickedness and all the enemies of grace are going to bow the knee, going to confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So in the meantime, we trust the Lord. I'm not saying I like the circumstances in which we are today. If I had my way, it would be far different than what things are. I don't like it. I would change it if I could. But I have to believe. I have to believe that through all of the circumstances and all of the hostility and all the troubles and all the junk that is taking place in this world, that there is a God secluded from our sight for sure, but a God that is seated upon a throne. And from that throne he rules. God is not just a spectator. Oh, that we will understand. God is not just a spectator of the stuff of this life. If all I could say to you today that God is on heaven and he looks down and he sees our trouble and he sees our care and he sees all that we're going, if all I could say to you is that God knows about us and our trouble, wouldn't that be particularly comforting? If God knows, why didn't he act? But I say God's not sitting on bleachers. He's sitting upon a throne. He's not a spectator. He is a king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He rules and he governs, and we may not understand our particular point in time, but how brief a point of time we are in to trust God, to trust God, to calm down, because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The psalm ends with Emmanuel. The world may be on a razor's edge, but God's on his throne and God is present with his people. And every Emmanuel statement takes us to the culmination of that Emmanuel. The Lord Christ himself. I want you to be encouraged. I want me to be encouraged. So many discouraging things. But can we claim this psalm as Luther claimed this psalm those 500 plus years ago? That God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. Selah. Think about that. Amen. Our gracious Lord, how powerful thou art, how great thou art, how gracious thou art, how good thou art, how much in control thou art to all that there is. And Lord, we acknowledge that we are in a time of crisis, but thou hast not changed. Thy eternal purpose of redemption cannot be frustrated by the antagonism of man. So Lord, enable us by thy help and by the ministry of thy Spirit to trust thee, to be able to calm down in the time of trouble. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.